Why is it on every place? Why is there so much noise? Well, could it be that we are trying to, we don't want to listen to the Lord? Or we're afraid of what we might think about, what might be going on inside, if it is quiet? Well, when things got crazy for him, he would just get away. Because he wanted to spend time listening to his Father. And so, it's good sometimes to turn off the radio. Or to turn off the television. To get off to a very quiet place. If we can. I have a friend, and he had kids at home still. And I don't know how he worked out with his wife, but you know what? They were a little older. Okay, but he would get off sometimes for a weekend, and he would camp down by the Mississippi River alone. I don't know if he had Fasnax or not with him. Okay. But he got there to be alone with Jesus. And it was quiet. So he could hear the voice of the Lord. That's what Jesus did. James said, stop talking and listen. Listen and then talk. For some of us, that would be an improvement. And nobody nudging the person that's sitting with you. But I mean, a good discipline is being quiet. Another one has to do with fasting. And so we say no to food. That's one way to fast. We can also say no to media. I think I've told you about a friend of mine. He had a big family, and they would shut off all the media. Now, they were a big media family, too. They would shut it off. I think it was from Friday sundown. This was the Jewish Sabbath, from Friday Sunday until Saturday sundown. They were ministry people. They had to be back online to minister on Sunday morning. Isn't that something? At any rate, that's what they had to do. But they would shut it off for about 24 hours, and he said it was just a great thing. So that, you know, that's another way to fast. There's other things that we can fast about, but those are two good things. I remember one retreat I went to. I went to a big Promise Keepers rally. Pastors in Atlanta, they told us, this was before internet, they told us fast from media. No newspapers, no television. I think I was there for 3 days. It was a great thing because I was able to hear the voice of God. So that's another way to fast from media, fast from food. Some of our those who do a lot of fasting, sometimes they'll fast from after supper or dinner, whatever you call it, until the next day, until noon, or sometimes until the. So it's not a completely 24 hours, but there are lots of ways to do that. Another discipline is that of frugality, and that what it means is we instead of listening to our culture's voice, that we get everything that we are greedy for, we cut back to just what we need. So I'm not going to get that next whatever. I don't need the latest whatever. I'm going to stick with what I really need. Jesus lived very frugally. Okay? And he calls us to do that as well. And many of God's people have done that as a discipline. Another one has to do with chastity. So Jesus and Paul, now they were single their whole lives, and there are some whom God calls to that, sometimes long-term, sometimes short-term. And this is all based back in the scriptures, which talks about where God put a man and a woman together and then called them to live together, to be commit their lives to each other for life. And yet sometimes, the Apostle Paul even talked about sometimes, for a short time, with mutual agreement, he said that even a married couple ought to abstain from sex. And the reason for all of that is to focus on the Lord. Paul said that he had refrained from even marrying because he said not everybody can do that because it gave him more time for ministry, and it did. And some people do that. But this is another spiritual discipline. It's another spiritual practice. A further one, to focus on the Lord and sometimes to focus on ministry. and to focus on relationship with Christ. Another one is the discipline of secrecy. Jesus said, your right hand ought not to know what your other hand is doing in terms of giving. And so as a spiritual discipline or practice, we do well to not do things for show. That's what the Pharisees did. He said, don't pray for show. Sometimes it's good for us to do an act of service very quietly or to give something that nobody else knows about. You know, to pray, not so others will hear us, but maybe to start praying for somebody or something and nobody else knows. But you know, and God knows. And it's a great discipline to be quiet about, to be secret about it. And then the last of these disciplines of abstinence is a discipline of sacrifice. Philippians 2 says that Jesus gave up the privileges of heaven. He got off of heaven's throne and he came down and he humbled himself before us. He gave everything out. He gave up the privileges, the independent use of his attributes to serve us. And we are called to serve others as Christ served us. You see, these practices of abstinence are things where we're dying to live. Jesus said that if we want to save our lives, that we'll lose it. But if we lose our lives for him, then we'll save it. Now, the reason for these practices of abstinence is to create space for Christ and for the practices of engagement. Okay, is your mental wheel going? Are you thinking of one of these? Is God speaking to you about one that you're going to say, okay, this is what I'm going to do this season? Or maybe you want to pick two. You can do that if you want. So the disciplines or practice of engagement. The first one is study. We see in the Gospel of Luke that Jesus studied in the synagogue. Romans chapter 2, chapter 12, the verses that Maureen read a few minutes ago, says, be renewed, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And so we take time, we choose as a spiritual discipline to study this book. We do it alone. We do it with others. We might do it with a friend. We do it in community groups. We do it in worship. We open this book every week. We do it as a discipline. We do it as a practice. It's what we do as God's people have done throughout the centuries because it's through this book. We don't worship this book, but it's through this book that we know Jesus. And then as we study this book, it's then that we are drawn to the practice of worship. And so we see that Jesus and the apostles worshiped, and we will worship for all of eternity. It's what we were made for. We were made for the glory of God. And so we will sing throughout all of the ages, you are worthy, Lord Jesus, to receive all glory and praise and honor and strength. You made us, and you made us to give you praise. And so we worship as a spiritual practice. It's something that we usually do with others. Jesus said that where two or three are gathered, that he is, he expresses himself, that he is with us in ways that he is not when we're alone. He expresses his glory in ways, he speaks to us in ways when we're together, that he does not when or more so than when we are alone. But we also worship alone. And so, as a practice, we are called, as we follow Jesus' model, to worship him on our own. And we could do that lots of different ways. You know, we might take some Christian music and sing it, sing along with it. We might take a hymn book or a song book and sing those songs. We might just sing in the shower. Maybe whoever we live with sing, that's the only place we want to hear you. You know, or maybe then it's just in the car. Maybe just when we're alone. Or maybe it's out in the woods. You know, but we sing And we worship the Lord. And we can worship also just through our words or through writing or through the quality of our work. We give him praise through our worship. We take delight and joy in Jesus, whom we learn about through this book. But then another practices of engagement, which sometimes Christians in like us forget about, is the practice of celebration. John chapter 2, right out of the box, Jesus is celebrating at Cana of Galilee, celebrating the marriage of a young couple. And we do it in conjunction with our faith. Miriam in Exodus chapter 15 celebrated as God's people were released from Egypt. Deborah, as God's people had victory. David, as God was leading him into Jerusalem, and as the temple was on its way to being established. Solomon, in the book of Ecclesiastes, as he talks about how crazy life is. Why are we here? How come it's so short? How come things don't always make sense? He said, you know what? There's nothing that makes more sense than to enjoy the life that God has given to us. To say thank you for the daily gifts of God. To say thank you that we can be here and worship this morning. To say thank you that we were able to get up in the morning. Not everybody was this morning. Somebody said to me, I'm vertical this morning. You know what? Not everybody is vertical this morning. Let's be grateful and let's celebrate what God has given us. That's when we have these potlucks, when we have times that we do fun things as a church or with friends, or we enjoy baseball season coming up. Paul McCleary said, amen. You know, I mean, or gardening. You know, we had some gals from the pickleball bunch out there already trimming some of the rose bushes last week on that beautiful day. They were having fun. They were celebrating. I don't know if it's spring or what it is, but they were celebrating. And God, as a discipline, as we follow the model of Jesus, we celebrate. But then we serve. Jesus came and served us. You remember he washed the disciples' feet. He said that even in our employment that we ought to be serving, that we ought to do our work as employees as if we are serving Christ. We move on to, you know, are we, you know, moving on to caring for our families, caring for our loved ones, caring for our neighborhoods, caring for our community, caring for our church, caring for the Dominican Republic, going and serving, whether it be in a little place, little everyday something, or a bigger trip, or somewhere in between. What a great example Jimmy Carter has been. You know, I think people, you know, I think the valuation is still out on what happened, you know, with his presidency. You know, that's something that's probably not going to be cited for another 50 or 100 years. But nobody doubts that he has shown us the way to go in terms of serving since he left office. Habitat for Humanity. Some things that he did in the Middle East, brokering some peace deals, this and that. I think I've told you the story about how he'd go to his Baptist church there in Plains, and one day he got done and he has a Secret Service guy with him. He says, hey, let's stop. He says, what do you mean, Mr. President? He said, no, let's just stop. And Jimmy Carter, former president of the United States, gets out, pulls a screwdriver out of his car, and goes up and fixes the front door of the church with a Secret Service agent looking on. He knew how to serve. And one of the spiritual practices that we need to adopt is that of service, and then also of prayer. Again, we're filling that empty space with good things, and when we combine prayer with the disciplines of solitude and of fasting, prayer is a deeper and a richer conversation with God, something that we are called to do 24/7. But then he calls us to fellowship. The writer of Hebrews says, don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together. He said, we're taught in 1 Corinthians 12 that it's our gifts that God uses to build up one another. You remember that song, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. But if you separate the embers in the fire goes out. But if they're together, the fire becomes bigger and grows. And so it is in terms of as a discipline, as a practice, getting together alone, a couple of us for coffee, maybe a smaller group for a community group or a midday club. And maybe in a larger group on Sunday mornings. God made us for each other. God uses us in each other's lives. And one of the things that happens there sometimes is the discipline of confession. So we confess our sins to Jesus, 1 John 1:9. But there's times we confess our sins to one another. And James says that's good for your soul. Sometimes there's times when we confess our sins to each other, it removes the weight of it. We don't have to tell everything to everybody, but there's some things that we need to tell to somebody. And that's because that's for the good of our souls and our relationships. Sometimes there's things that we need to get right with others. And then finally, the spiritual practice of submission. Jesus gave everything up to submit to his Father's will and to come and to serve us. Dallas Willard says this is the highest level of fellowship that there is. We submit to our parents when we're children. We submit to our employers. Again, if working for them as if we're working for Jesus. We submit to the leaders in our government, local and national. We submit to leaders in our church. Ephesians chapter 5 talks about mutual submission in a home. It begins within a marriage. It begins and then expands out to within the family. And then it goes from there to a community. And so that we're all submitting eventually to the rule of Christ, who is in charge of everything. And it says that this is the way that a society ought to be ordered. And it gives great glory to his name because we are being formed into the image of Christ and bowing beneath Christ and his rule and the ways that he has called us to live. So there you go. Have you picked one? Is God speaking to you about one? Are you ready to pick two? Any pick twos? Any pick 14s? Yeah, that's a lot to pick. That's like going over to Gym Max and eating more than you should eat, you know. But I just want to urge you to pick one. Pick at least one. Pick between now and Easter. You don't have to. This is between you and the Lord. But I want to urge you to pick one and maybe to think about that one, to pray about that one, even do some scripture study about that one. Talk. Maybe you want to share with someone else that you're close to or in a group that you're in. About how God is leading you over these coming weeks to draw closer to Christ. On that beautiful, beautiful spring day in February a few days ago, I looked kitty-corner to her house. We live over on Market Street, some of you know. And I saw a bunch of young gals out there practicing softball. And I looked down on the street. And there I saw people riding bikes back and jogging. I looked behind our house in the alley. I saw some people doing, you know, walking and running and this and that. And it was February. Now, they might have just been out there because it was a beautiful day. But I have a feeling that a bunch of them were out there, especially the gals that were out on that field getting ready for spring. And they were doing some very deliberate things, maybe some challenging things, so that they would be ready to hit a home run down on that field down there, or to run a mile, or whatever their sport might be. They're doing the hard things now in order to have the joy later on. Christ has invited us into a race with him. Christ has invited us to follow him and what he and how he lived when he was here, to draw closer to the Father. As we move toward Easter, I want to urge you and encourage you, as I encourage myself, to pick one or two or 14 or something in between ways of drawing closer to him, that you might be a little bit more like Jesus on Easter morning and in the days ahead because of what you're choosing to do just now. One of our other friends, Eugene Peterson, the one who translated the message, a paraphrase, said, practice resurrection. That's what God calls us to do. In these weeks and in all of our days on earth, as we anticipate the day when we are raised with Christ and we become like him, 1 John 3:2, when we see him as he is. Well, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we don't like that you said to come and die with you. But Lord, we surrender. We've already sung, we surrender all. So, okay, here we go. But Lord, we die with you that we may live with you. Lord, when we begin, we thank you for the forgiveness that we know in Jesus, that we don't have to earn a thing, because as we put our faith in you entirely and in your work for us, as we turn from our way to your way, that we are forgiven forever, and we are so grateful for that. But now you want to be formed in us. So Lord, I pray that you would guide us, that you would speak to us and help us to follow you now in this matter over the coming weeks. Thank you, Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen.